Jazz, 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station. I'm Jamal Ahmed, and I'm very honored right now to have a young man who is really representing a tradition that's very strong and still alive in America. We're talking about the tradition of tap dance, and he's also an educator and choreographer. I want to welcome the legendary Mr. Savion Glover. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Jamal. How are you?
I'm good, man. Now, You're a young cat, and I really use that word legendary very strongly because you have been representing an art form that a lot of people thought died a long time ago, but you're keeping it alive for this new generation. Talk about why you chose to pick up the art of tap dance and purvey it to a new generation.
Well, you know, in the beginning of my experience as a tap dancer, I was just going to basic or regular tap class. It wasn't until I met these wonderful contributors and great men and women of the dance, Jimmy Slide, Gregory Hines, and you know, people like Lon Chaney, Chuck Green, and just all of these great masters of the dance. It wasn't until I met them that I realized basically what my mother had gotten me into, and that was, you know, to basically maintain or live, allow their legacy, their legacies to live out or through my contributions. And so it became bigger than the dance. It was it just what it is now, and what it became early on was just, I guess, my option or decision to sort of represent for them as not only, again, great contributors of the dance and to the entertainment field, but just great men and women of the world. So my life through entertainment or through the dance or whatever I am is just a tribute to their contribution and a tribute to who they are or who they were as entertainers and just human beings in the world.
Right. But what is it about tap dance that's so intriguing? Because for me, it's almost like two things in one, actually a few things in one. But more importantly, when you look at it, here you are purveying and really presenting a new dance style, but also you're providing rhythm, which is purely unique. But what is it about it and what are its roots? Why did it start? How did it begin?
Well, I mean, I can't tell you how it began. You know, there's a famous story about Gregory Hines and Fred Kelly, Gene Kelly's brother. They had a conversation about, you know, where tap dancing starts and all of these things. And of course, Fred Kelly, being from where he's from, said that, you know, it started in the Irish sector or in the streets of Ireland, whatever like that. But then Gregory, you know, argued that it started in Africa. So it allows me to believe that it depends on your cultural background. It depends on your approach to tap dancing. So for me, my approach or my style, how I was taught or learnt, if you will, in this art form, it comes from the motherland. It comes from Africa. It comes from the lack of instruments or the lack of tools to communicate, as with most of our inventions, as African Americans, we make do with what we have because we were, you know, early on we were sort of stripped of our means to exist and communicate and whatnot. So my approach to tap dancing comes from the lack of tools, the lack of instruments, the lack of voice. And it is my proud privilege to now be able to produce stories and produce these sounds and vibrations that might allow the listener or the audience member to not only enjoy the dance, but receive what we now call edutainment. that's education through education through entertainment. And, you know, why I do it is, you know, it's just like the great free music. It's like John Coltrane or Ornette Coleman or Miles Davis or something like this. It's just, you know, through music, in this case, through dance, you know, it lifts the spirit. It's communicating. It's storytelling and all of these things, as well as good entertainment. So
you mentioned something in your last response. Two things, actually. You said it was a need when tap dance was created to create something out of nothing, and you also used the word edutainment. And when you look at that, I mean, edutainment was first utilized by KRS-One back in 1990. He named an album called Edutainment. But also, when you look at the ethos of creating something almost out of nothing, that is really the concept of hip hop. The fact that you can take these found sounds and turntables and things of the like and turn them into art, which we've seen impact the entire world. How does it feel? Because I remember the first time, you know, young folk really saw you was, of course, through Bamboozle, but also in videos with Puff Daddy and folk like that. How does it feel to be a purveyor of this style to your own generation and receive the accolades from your generation?
Well, I mean, you went from one the video was, of course, 20 years ago, and now Bamboozle is about 10 years ago. But it's, you know, I'm just continuing. I started off when I was 7 years old, and my first production was The Tap Dance Kid, and I did that when I was 10. And after Tap Dance Kid, I did a production called Black and Blue, which was, you know, which is launched in Paris, and that was my introduction to these great men. And, you know, I've just been dedicated to the art form ever since. So I'm just picking up from where these cats left off, and whatever accolades come, that's fine. But my duty and commitment is to them. As long as I am here, no matter what the generation is doing, I am going to be, you know, paying tribute to these great masters and contributors of the art form. And you know, again, I'm not tossed or you know, turned on by the accolades. I am appreciative of you know, not only my generation but the generation before me, as far as how they view or acknowledge me in the dance. But you know, that doesn't fuel me. That's not what keeps me going. What keeps me going is, again, these great contributors, the men and women who have come before me and given me not only the tools and resources, but the love and great tutelage, if you will, to continue on. So I'm here, my life, my dance, what I am, it's just a dedication to them.
So this upcoming weekend, Atlanta is going to be blessed, and of course, it's courtesy of the National Black Arts Festival. We're going to be blessed with two things from you. We're actually going to be blessed by a rare masterclass happening on Saturday, July 18th, Dance Across the Diaspora, a historical lens on a black cultural movement. And you'll also give us a performance called Soul Sanctuary this upcoming Sunday. Yeah. What can the people of Atlanta expect at both of those events?
Well, Soul Sanctuary is a production with myself and Marshall Davis Jr. It's a production that basically allows the audience to, I'm inviting them into the sanctuary, that sanctuary being the platform or podium for me to, once again, acknowledge these great men. This is a personal, one of I guess, my more personal shows or productions. Every production I do is dedicated to them, but this one is really concentrated and sort of stripped down so that I hope, that is my hope, that the audience can sort of share in the reverence or tribute, and that we, you know, want to give to these great men. So it's set up as if it's a sanctuary, actually, my sanctuary. And, you know, I, at this point, I think people know what I'm, you know, what I'm coming with as far as productions. This is not a production that involves a lot of stage props and things of that nature. It's very concentrated on the dance. And, again, once again, allows the audience to, I hope, to understand my feelings or my tribute to these great men: Jimmy Slide, Gregory Hines, Lon Chaney, Chuck Green, Buster Brown, Steve Kondo, Sammy Davis Jr. Those are some of them that we highlight, but throughout the performance we pay tribute to more. And as far as the class goes, it's my opportunity again in the short time that it will be to share what it is I do here in Newark at my school, which is allow not only kids but adults as well, or whomever might be interested, allow them to understand what it is to express themselves. And again, we cover history in the dance, and you know, it's the opposite of the average dance class, not taking anything away from anyone's approach to teaching, but my approach to teaching at this time in my life, it goes far beyond just the combination, the dance combination. I'm not interested in the kids doing a combination and just dancing like me or doing what I'm doing. I'm more interested in knowing that they understand what it is to associate themselves with an approach to dance that will allow them to express themselves, not just express the teacher. So hopefully we'll get that point across and in the class, and then also accomplish another thing with the production.
All right. Well, hopefully Atlanta, well, not hopefully, but I know Atlanta will come out and support. And actually, I think I'll come out to the symposium, the masterclass, man. I think I can hoof a little bit. So we'll see if I can come on up. And
well, I mean, you don't have to be a dancer to learn as far as this is. You know, we need more non-dancers to know about the dance so that
right. We
can have more conversations about it. So I encourage not only tap dancers, but intellectuals of all walks to come on out and enjoy.
Right, right. That was the voice and is the voice of the young man known as Savion Glover, tap dancer, choreographer, and educator, who's going to be here in Atlanta this upcoming weekend, Saturday, July 18th, for his masterclass. Also, his performance, Soul Sanctuary, will be taking place on Sunday, July 19th. If you want to find out more information, you can go to nbaf.org. And as always, Mr. Savion Glover, God bless you in all your future endeavors, sir. We thank you so much for your contributions.
Yes, and thank you for having me.
Thank you.
All right, peace.
Peace.